Hello, this is Valerie Michelle, the Healing Artist Video Project, featuring today's program, which is Healing and the Greater Reality, the Treasure Shares. Now, this is a edited podcast of the original live air show that occurred on, when was that? That was Sunday, March 24th of 2013. And treasure shares, what I mean by that? Well, what I mean by that is like, wow, you know, everything that we're talking about on this show is actually treasure. Treasure for someone. Hopefully treasure for someone versus no one. But I can tell from the amount of listeners that there are people who definitely find what's being shared here on Healing and the Greater Reality, the treasure shares, valuable. And some of that value comes from topics that I speak about or spoke about on the 24th with my guest DK Brainerd of wordsforthepeople.com. And we talked about angel-guided star creation, soul healing, astrology, spiritual consumerism, and whatever else struck our fancy at the time. I've edited out some of the technical conversation that I had about how to dial in and what to do if the program drops and that kind of thing, so that now we can just go straight to the content that is most valuable, the true treasure, in this episode of Healing and the Greater Reality, the Treasure Share. So the first thing that we spoke about is I asked DK in his own words how he would love to be described. And I also asked him, how does his description align with what he offers through his business, Words for the People? Okay, and next, I chose a quote from a book that I'm reading that is the spirituality autobiography of Sidney Poitier, which was on the New York Times as a bestseller when it was first published. And again, the title is The Measure of a Man, a Spiritual Autobiography. And what I did was I took a quote from this book and I asked DK to reflect on it, to share his comments about how it relates to his life or how not. And I just want to reread that quote again for you, and you'll probably hear it again in the podcast. But basically, set it up. Sidney is talking about the director Stanley Kramer, and there's a quote from Stanley Kramer about the kind of filmmaker who he is, or who he would like to be, the kind of filmmaker. And he says, "What can I do that will be daring, interesting, and necessary?" That's what he's always asking himself. And when he knew that our country wasn't quite ready for something, his attitude was, well, we're going to do it anyway. So DK and I talk about that. And then we talk about what are we doing in our own lives today that challenges us, like really challenges us in the context of shifting into a new creative model as transformers, as light workers, as healers. What do we place our focus on? And how do we make those decisions in what, who was it, Aldous Huxley called Brave New World? And here we are in 2013, needing to make more changes, more transformations, more shifting. So we talk about how are we, like, revolutionary. DK says we are at the forefront of the next revolution in consciousness, living life creatively from the soul. So then we begin to talk about that. You know, is there still a separation between a person's professional and personal life, between church and state in the greater reality? Do we still need to compartmentalize ourselves? And we talk about what has been the most challenging concept, form, entity, belief, or some other phenomena for us to accept in this greater reality consciousness. Is there something that's so, I don't know, out there, that so blows our mind that we can't quite wrap our head around it? And I put that question out to you, the listener, too, as well as you're listening to the show. We also talk about and discuss what our personal challenges are as creators in the arts and entertainment industries. DK being a musician and a songwriter, me also being a musician and a songwriter, actually not a musician, more of a songwriter. I used to be a musician, but I don't really play anymore. But I'm more involved now in film and television as a screenwriter, and also, of course, doing these Blog Talk radio programs. So how do we shift into new creative models? And, you know, how do we fit into industries that are sort of in that place where you're bumping up against traditional ways of doing things by the old guard and going into new ways of getting your message out, speaking your voice within arts and entertainment as well, and what problems we run into and how we deal with them or don't. So we're going to listen to now, before we get into some of those topics, a song by Earth, Wind, and Fire called Shining Star, because that's what we are. Okay, here we go.
Manner, and I thought I was going to be a little bit more laid back because I said, I think of you as being this laid-back kind of guy. And I said, I don't know if DK, you know, wants me to be as laid-back as he is, or you know, can I be the fire sign that I am, you know, now we're into Aries. And so Earth, Wind, and Fire gets me going every time.
Yeah, man, I was feeling pretty laid-back, but now I'm feeling pretty fired up. So let's roll with that. I got a lot of Aries, too, by the way.
Oh, really? Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have some time to talk about that. But before we get going, I want to just give a shout-out and say happy birthday to my cousin Rosalind, and to dedicate the show to her. Rosalind was born a twin, DK, and her twin brother Russell died recently. And so this is her first birthday that she's experiencing without her brother. So I
wow.
just want my family to know that, you know, I'm thinking about them. I'm thinking about, you know, those who have outlived him, his mom, his brother, his sons, his wife, just, you know, dedicating the show to them. And again, Roz, happy birthday to you.
Yeah.
Okay, so DK, let's talk about you a little bit. Now, you know, there are a lot of hosts that give these, like, long introductions about the people who are guests on their show. And I have to tell you, like, I hate that part. I hate to have to, like, look up and write down something that I'm going to say about the person. And usually I do that. But, you know, when I talk to you, was it yesterday, day before yesterday, whenever we talked, I said that I was trying to do some new things. For the Healing Artist Studio project here on Blog Talk Radio for the programming. And so I am just kind of going with the flow, and I really don't want to talk about how wonderful you are. So I'm going to ask you to share in your...
You want me to talk about how wonderful I am?
Yes, I want you to share in your own words how you would love to be described. And then I'm going to ask you, I want to know rather, how does the description commune with what you are offering now through Words for the People? So the first part is share in your own words how you would love to be described.
Oh, no pressure here. My one shot to get it right, right?
Don't worry. No worries. You
know,
let it go.
I think I'm very sincere, and, you know, I'm a pretty cool cat. But I'm also really sincere, and I'm really sincere about what I do. And how would I describe myself? You know, I mean, I've got a lot of, like, tags that I could put on there. I'm an astrologer. I've been a working astrologer for practicing professionally for 8 years now. I'm a writer. You know, I have a worldwide audience with my horoscopes and my astrology writings. But I guess what I'm really focused on, interestingly enough, in light of the show and the Healing Artist Studio and some of what I know you're about, I'm really focused on how can I help people live creatively, you know, and I mean, I've always had this thing that, you know, we can make a better world. We can make a world that works for everybody, instead of just a few people. And I feel like the way we do that is that we all recapture our creativity. So what I do with clients, I mean, astrology, you know, is a great way of tuning into your blueprint in this lifetime. What did you come here to accomplish? What are some of the challenges that you chose to take on? And so that's one level of it. And then the other level of the work that I do with people is how can we go in, you know, to the soul realm and find out what's blocking you from creating what you want. You know, whether it's having enough money to kind of do the dream of your business life, or whether it's having fulfilling relationship, you know, better health, whatever it is. Like, there's all this stuff in the soul realm. Some of it comes from family patterns. Some of it's, you know, trauma that we had when we were younger and that we didn't process. But that's my, I just really get a charge out of that. So, you know, when I was, I'll throw one other thing in. I think when we're kids, we all know exactly what we came here to do when we're little kids. And then, you know, it kind of gets beaten out of us. It gets drummed out of us. You know, we get told we need to be a doctor, engineer, lawyer, you know, housewife, whatever it is. Well, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a detective. I wanted to travel to outer space. And I wanted to be a magician. And, I mean, I was real serious about all of these life goals. And it's, you know, I never, when I was a teenager and in my 20s and going to college and entering the professional world, I never in a million years could have imagined doing what I'm doing now. But, you know, it's sort of like being a magician. I'm a detective. I get to, you know, with people's permission, dig into their psyche and find out, you know, the clues to the mystery. And, you know, the outer space part, I mean, communing with the stars. So how's that?
I love it. That sounds great. You know, you said a lot, and I identified a lot with what you said as well. I like your talking about what you wanted to be and to do when you were a child, and, you know, taking a look at, you know, what people said perhaps that we should do or what we should be, you know, the different paths that we take in life. I mean, some people aren't able to become what they believe they wanted to become when they were children. There are some people that, you know, always know what they or knew what they wanted to be in childhood and then, you know, actually became that, went to school for it or whatever it took to become that. And then there are those of us who I won't say we got sidetracked, but our journey, our story took us, you know, to different paths. One of the things that I was planning to share, which this is actually a good segue to talk about, or to pull at least an excerpt from it, I wrote a blog post on March 18th titled Healing and the Greater Reality Treasure Shares, where, you know, sometimes I awaken in the morning and I awaken to gratitude and trying to be patient and just embracing, ready to embrace my Creator and the angelic realm's guidance in my life. And so I'm not going to talk about it all, but in talking about what you wanted to be when you were a child, I wrote a paragraph in this, and anyone can go in and take a look at it at any time. It's at healingartiststudio.blogspot.com. I typed it in the chat room as well, so anyone can go to the blog right there. But what I say is that now I realize why the characters with which I most identified growing up were the Knights of the Round Table, Ivanhoe, Robin Hood, Merlin, the Thief of Baghdad, Joan of Arc, and other adventurers who were empowered to successfully slay evil and monsters, and here's that word again, and often with magic. So, you know, for both of us, that's kind of interesting how we you know, here we are considered, I guess some would consider us light workers, and, you know, we can talk about what it means to be a light worker or a healer or not, you know. That's talked about in a lot of other shows, and certainly on mine, people can listen to that. But there is that sense of, you know, I want to be like this someone who saves people, someone who, you know, has this gift, this magic that cares about people in the community and, you know, wants people to be happy, and that, you know, I wanted to be happy, you wanted to be happy, and we wanted to use mysticism and magic to do so. And would you say, you've already said it, that's what's happening with you right now today, and I can say the same about me, you know, with being a healing artist studio and this healing artist studio project. So I wanted to just share something else with you as well from that and to get your impression of it, because I decided that what I wanted to do today as a way to get us to start talking about some of these things is to share excerpts from books that I'm reading, and just to have you check in or have someone who's listening check in and, you know, tell me whether or not this relates to them. This is from a quote, DK, from a book I'm reading now by Sidney Poitier. It's called The Measure of a Man, a Spiritual Autobiography. And I think this, funny how I chose this not knowing that we would be talking about this, you know, who we want to be in our soul healing, and helping people, and who we are. And this is a quote, and this is Sidney Poitier talking. And Sidney Poitier, for anyone who doesn't know, is an actor, and he was a major, major big star actor of films. And his big major films, I think he had three films out in 1967. One of them was Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. DK, are you familiar with him, Sidney Poitier?
Yeah.
He had three major films out in 67, and I'm trying to remember all the names of them, but I can't right now, but that's just one. Anyone can you know, look it up on Wikipedia. But he says, this was another Stanley Kramer picture. He's talking about Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, which was about a black man marrying a white woman in 67. And he goes, Stanley Kramer, he's the kind of filmmaker who has always asked, what can I do that will be daring, interesting, and necessary? In 1967, when he had read the script, when he had read me the script for Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, I was very impressed. Stanley knew that the country wasn't ready for this one, but his attitude was, well, we're going to do it anyway. So are we? Is that where we are right now with what we're doing in our lives? And talking specifically, I guess, about the healing part, because we do other things as well. Is that where we are? Do you see that that's where we are today, or do you see something different?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, if you think about, you know, that movie and Sidney Poitier being the first, you know, African American man to win an Oscar, and like you said, at the time when that came out, you know, it's so revolutionary. And then think of how quickly things have changed in, you know, I guess that's what, about 50 years now. So, you know, there's still a lot more change that needs to happen for African Americans, for, you know, gay and lesbian, for, like, you know, all these groups of society that have been marginalized. And but there's been so much progress, and it's like, I feel like we're at the forefront of the next revolution, which is really this next revolution in consciousness. And I think it feeds into the creativity artistic piece as well, you know, because it really is, what we're talking about is living life creatively from the soul. And I don't remember the exact words, but I love that, like, you know, nobody's done it before and it's necessary. That's just so powerful. You know, and it's like, we didn't go into the healing profession, you know, because we thought it would make us rich. It's
right.
Because on a soul level, it just felt compelling. Like, I have to, you know, and that's, I want to tell you a little, hopefully not too long story. I was on this music forum the other day, and there's a famous producer, somebody who made some of the most famous rock albums of the 1990s. And it was kind of this forum on the state of the record industry and everything that's wrong with it. And, like, how do we, you know, find the finances and the resources to put out good music in an era where everything's so mass produced and just, you know, the way the record industry is now. And as I was reading that, my thought was, wow, that's really a lot about my journey, because that was my dream, you know, to be, as I wrote in a recent blog post on my website, to be like the big rock star. And I still have that dream of making great music, and I love playing live in front of people. But what actually happened in the process of trying to fulfill that dream is my soul just kept driving me to explore, why are the things that are broken in my life broken? And why can't I fix them by trying to acquire, you know, fame or money or success from outside of myself? And, you know, what has come about for me is this different way of expressing my creativity that still involves making music. It's, you know, sometimes a different kind of music. But that's this whole different model that's really based on connecting with people, you know, often one-on-one, or through my blog. And it's not this top-down kind of hierarchy, you know, where a few people make it big and then we all listen to their stuff. I just feel like there's this such a creative revolution in the world. And that's what, if we're going to really change society, we have to go within and find out, you know, what, to the best of our ability, what really makes me special, what really makes me tick, what do I love to do, what is the reason that I'm here. And as we develop that creatively, you know, the more of us who are living that kind of life, the better the world naturally becomes.
Yeah, I hear you, and I definitely identify in, and I love that blog post about, you know, the rock star, you know, like what your dreams were, you know, you wanted to, oh, rock stars and fast cars, I think that was the title of
yeah.
it. And I think that was when I said, I have got to have him on the show. I've got to talk to DK. We have to have a conversation. And I identified because I'm also a songwriter, but more, I won't say importantly, but what's come up that is sort of more primary important is how I fit in or don't fit in to the entertainment industry in film and television, all right? And that whole, you know, the Hollywood, I guess, culture, the filmmaker culture, you know, the big blockbuster culture, the independent film culture. And I have found that there's so much, well, you know, I'm going to call it distrust of people. And so being someone who, and I'm going to say, operates on a vibration that is often, I'm going to say, on a higher level of compassion than some of what I have experienced and observed in people in entertainment, is that I sometimes feel like I'm swimming in a pool or in an ocean with people who are so stuck on a traditional viewpoint and a historical way of doing things that they are not open to something that is, like, totally different and totally a little bit, not a little bit, I guess from their perspective, it must be a lot more open. And, for instance, well, I'm just going to take a situation. There was a situation where for a particular film that's in development, there was an opportunity for two screenwriters to work together, and things didn't work out. And there was a producer who was working on this film. And when the two screenwriters decided to go the separate ways, the producer who was with the original left. And then suddenly there's this, like, lockdown. Like, we can't share information. We can't talk about it. You know, and, you know, being that a lot of people know that I had a near-death experience where I was on the other side. And it's so hard for me to operate that way because I'm coming from a whole totally different perspective. Having, you know, died and come back to life, you know, things are changed. They're just, my whole consciousness is so different. So, you know, you hear some people talk about living in a 3D world, a 4D world, a 5D world. So I feel like I'm operating with a lot of people who are sort of in that 3D area where I'm more in sort of the 4D or 5D area because my perspective is, wow, okay, that person left. You know what that means? That means there's someone else that is supposed to be working with this project. So my
yeah.
perspective would be, bless that person, bless the other project. You know, let's both be in alignment and harmony with who and what is for us, and let's go from there. And I don't have this fear of things being stolen or, you know, that I'm somehow going to lose something, you know, if, you know, I don't, you know, protect, be so protective of it. There's
yeah,
more
yeah.
of a, you know, sort of a give and a take there. So, you know, so that, I really relate to that. And it's interesting because do you find that you have those challenges when you're interacting with people as a creative professional, as a musician? Because I think there may be people who may be listening who are in arts and entertainment, and those are actually, you know, my people who that I'm most attracted to as clients are people
yeah.
in arts and entertainment. So I just wondered if you had a comment about that or what your experience is with that.
You know, I have had the repeated experience of, how can I say this? When to say it the way it's there. When I try to fit into the old paradigm, it almost invariably ends up in disaster for me. And, you know, it's like a lesson that I keep learning. Because, you know, I think there's just the way we're programmed, and there's so much media in our lives, and we grow up with it. And, and at the top, meaning the most media exposure, there is this real bottleneck, you know, in publishing and in movies and music. And there's this real persistent mem in society that says, you know, in order to really be a success, you have to make it through that bottleneck and be in the New York Times Book Review or have your film premiere in Hollywood or have your album on the charts or whatever. And it's like every time I've tried to push through in that way, you know, I've had like somebody who shows up and says they're going to bankroll me, and then they turn out and like, you know, stab me in the back, or, you know, various other things that I won't go into. I remember, like, I was at this point, I'm also a writer, and I was working on a book, and I'd gotten some interest from some New Age publishers, and this was several years ago. And I went to this writing workshop by this guy named Michael Patrick Welch. He's this great New Orleans writer. And, you know, it's like somebody that I knew from the neighborhood I lived in. And I was talking to him about, like, you know, how do I go forward with this? And he gave me this advice that I did not want to hear at the time. But he said, you know, just publish something yourself. Publish something small. Publish a 6-page book. Go to Kinko's and make some cool artwork for it. And then see if you can sell that. And I was like, that's the last thing I want to hear, you know. But I think so I went ahead and did it. And, you know, I actually made, like, up 2 or 3 little cool books that I wish I still had copies of. I think I gave them all away or sold them. And they were literally, like, 12 pages, you know, but just had cool artwork. And I got some local artists to collaborate with me, and we had fun doing it. But I feel like the, you know, what you're saying and where that kind of flows with the way I'm seeing things is that we're going into this whole, and we're there already, but we're really moving into this whole different creative model in the world, which instead of being top down, you know, controlled by a few people and then mass distribution for those few people that make it through the bottleneck, really boils down to finding your own true voice and then finding the community that will be helped by your voice and that in return will help you get your voice out there. And I mean, if you think of things like Kickstarter or Indiegogo, the whole microfunding thing, the first time I encountered that a few years ago, I was like, well, I don't understand that. Who would want to do that? You know, why would anybody want to give me like $20 to help finance my CD project? Well, I'm about to launch a Indiegogo campaign probably in April. And, you know, the thing that you do with that is you connect with the community of people who are interested in what you're doing, and you give them a good deal on the project, and then they basically fund the project for you. And that's like this huge thing now. You know, whereas before you had to find somebody rich and powerful, you know, who was going to like fund your project, and then you're at their mercy. You know, and a lot of the people, unfortunately, that are rich and powerful and are willing to get involved in the art scene, you know, may not be that ethical, or they may be frustrated artists themselves, so they want to control things, you know. So it's just this, like, whole different world that's opening up. But I feel like the key for me, to wrap up my long answer to your question, is finding, like, what is it that I really want to do and that also resonates with a need that's out there, with something that people really want. And maybe it's not 100,000 people or 1 million people. Maybe it's 2,000 people. And so I'm not driving, you know, a Benz and, you know, like living in my house in Malibu. Maybe someday I will. Who knows? But I'm actually being able to work on things that I really, really enjoy. And the last little part of that, too, and I think this ties the healing piece in, is I wouldn't be – I love the work that I do with people. It blows my mind that I'm able to be a participant in the transformation that I get to help people go through and get to experience people going through. It's such an honor, and it's really gratifying. It's really rewarding for me. And there's no way I would be doing that if my rock star dreams had come true, you know, 15 years ago.
You're listening to Healing on the Greater Reality, The Treasure Shares with Valerie Michelle, here at the Healing Artist Studio Project on Blog Talk Radio. And my special guest star for today is V.K. Brainerd of Words for the People, astrologer, musician, songwriter, writer, hypnotist, and just a great person extraordinaire. So there was something that we didn't get to talk about that I mentioned that we would in the first part of the podcast here. So we still have yet to talk about is there still a separation between our personal and professional lives, between church and state and the greater reality? Do we still need to compartmentalize ourselves? What are we doing today in the greater reality? And so we're going to talk about that. Also, in the second part of the podcast, we're going to also talk about what has been the most challenging concept, form, entity, belief, or some other phenomena for DK and myself to accept, or I guess to get comfortable with as part of the greater reality consciousness. I know DK talks about how at one point in his past, astrology was considered the work of the devil, and then I talk about in my own life how it's been difficult for me to become completely comfortable with this download, this gift that I've been given as what I call star creation. Angel-guided star signals, creating angel-guided star signals. So I throw that question out to everyone who's listening. What's been the most challenging concept for you to accept or to sort of wrap your head around? And also, we talked about soul healing. I share a dream that I had about my soul being stolen as an abused child. And that leads into DK and I talking about soul healing and his relationship to it. And we also talked about a post on DK's blog about spiritual consumerism. And it was that post, in fact, that led me to contact him to feature him as a guest star on this program. Okay, but first, another song. We're going to listen to Georgie Porgy singing Brand New Day. I hope you enjoy it.
was Georgie Porgy with Brand New Day. And also, Georgie Porgy was one of the first guests here at the Healing Artist Studio Project Channel on Blog Talk Radio. And if he's just like a phenomenal guy. I had him on the show when what was happening? Oh, he was one of Billboard's like top 10 dance music artists of the year. That was 2010, as I recall. And he was also on the Grammy nominating committee. So if you check out 2010, there's a program that I used to host called Sunday Brunch, The First and Last Song. He's just phenomenal, and he's just so full of energy and love, and you know, very positive, and his songs are all that way. And I love that part when he talks about, he says, "I need a healing," and he just holds that line. And I just thought of you, you know, when I was looking for songs to play, and I thought that would be great. So I want to bring on a caller who was inspired to call and have a couple of words to share about what you said earlier, DK. His name is Hugh. He describes himself as a way shower. And Hugh, are you there?
Yes, hi. I just love hearing what your guest is saying, because he's really projecting our future when people will open up to that. And we start with ourselves. We have to learn the self-love and then ripple that out transparently into the world. And by coming together in groups like-minded with certain goals to just improve humanity, we will have a beautiful future. There's no reason to repeat history. Since the beginning, it's been all control, conquer, and divide, but we can create a whole new history based on unconditional love. I'm actually working on bringing spirituality into global economics and combining it with unconditional love, making everything transparent, ethical, legal, moral, and forcing companies to be more responsible for their employees, their customers, the environment, and the community. And if they can't do that, they're not going to be around long when people wake up to the fact that election day is not certain days, but every day you buy a product, you're casting a vote for the company that manufactured it, so choose more wisely. I authored a little poem years ago as a motivator in my own life. It's only 3 lines long, but it's sort of also is the theme of what your guest is talking about. It's titled Caring, Sharing, and it reads, "If you dare to care, then share. If you share, pay heed. God will reward every good deed." So it sort of sums up what life should be all about, and I'd love to interact with your guest if he likes anything that I said. If you can share my number with him off air, that would be wonderful. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot. Oh, that was just a great, wonderful, sweet poem. You know,
yeah.
Short and simple, but to the point, don't you think?
Yeah, man. That's you know, I was working on this project last year that ultimately didn't go through. But some interesting things came out of it, and one of the things was doing research with 20-somethings and what they expect from a company and what they're willing to tolerate from a company. And it's such a different world. You know, I'm in my mid-40s, so it's a different world from the one I grew up in, which is a really different world from the one my parents grew up in, you know, where it's just like, okay, you got a job, you got to be loyal to the company, and if they poison you, you know, because you're working in unsafe conditions or whatever, well, that's just the price of, you know, being a loyal company man or company woman. And it's like these 20-somethings are like, no. You know, I want my company to care about the environment. I don't want to have a job where I'm, like, creating pollution and creating things that people don't need. So I really do feel like, you know, and what you're doing, Hugh, is so important, is going out there and being a conscience and helping people understand that there are ways of doing business that, you know, are profitable but also responsible.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes me think about how change is from the inside out. So that's what, you know, we are doing, and you're working on change from the inside. I just like, I have some history with 12-step programs, and one of the things that I remember a lot about, you know, what shared in 12-step programs, and one of the sayings is, wherever you go, you take yourself. Wherever you go, you take yourself. So I try to remember that, you know, who am I? Am I Val? I used to think of myself in compartments because, you know, we live in a world where I know in my family I was taught that your personal life and your professional life are two different things. They don't mix. So I was raised with that kind of consciousness. And also we live in a country where there's a separation of, quote, unquote, church and state. Now, in this day and time, it's not so much, well, yes, religion still exists and people still go to church and you have people who are Catholics and Protestants and so on and so forth. But with this new consciousness of spirituality happening, it's interesting because I sometimes wonder if that is still the quote-unquote name of the game. And we have so many different new experiences that are happening as part of this greater reality. So it tends not to be so easy to compartmentalize myself anymore into the personal and the professional person. So wherever I am, I take myself. So if I'm doing songwriting, if I'm producing a movie, if I'm writing a script, if I'm writing a blog, no matter what it is that I'm doing, I always take myself. That healer part of me is always there, as well as, you know, every other aspect of me, you know, the whole story, the whole shebang. And the segue to that, there have been some concepts, some things that have been introduced to me where, because there's this sort of free-for-all and whatever you call it, new age, new spirituality, spiritual consumerism, if you will, you know, with so many people who consider themselves to be healers and shaman and light workers, and so forth, and astrologers and numerologists. Not that this is anything new. We've always been around, but there are more people who are awakening to this in themselves. And I awakened, what, a year ago, 2 years ago, last year, to creating these angel-guided star sigils, or the belief being that we can create stars, that out of the billions of stars, it's not that far-fetched to believe that we can create them through sigils, through intentions, and so forth. So I just wondered, in your own life, has there been anything that's come up that's been very challenging in terms of a concept, a form, an entity, a belief, or some other kind of phenomena that's been challenging for you to accept in what I call the greater reality consciousness? Something that you can't quite wrap your head around, but you don't want to say, you know, to totally sort of toss it out with the bathwater, so to speak.
Well, when I first really encountered astrology in the mid-90s, I was just locked. I'd come from this fundamentalist Baptist upbringing, so, you know, astrology was like the work of the devil. And then I rebelled against that and went into academia and, you know, became very rationalistic. And so astrology didn't fit into that paradigm either. And as the years went by, I mean, and I had these, these synchronistic things that happened where I met like a couple famous astrologers and became friends with one of them, and she was always talking about my chart, and I was like, this lady's crazy. But I started, you know, I kind of got interested in it, and I started paying attention to it, and I'm like, oh, wow, that happened, like, exactly when my chart said that would happen, you know, and I totally didn't expect that. And so, but as I was getting into that, and then, you know, that led me into reading people like Carlos Castaneda and, you know, some of the famous New Age teachers. And the whole time I was going through that, there was this part of me saying, what is wrong with you? Why are you persisting in this? You know, you're going crazy. And my family at the time was like, you know, they thought I was just losing it and I was going nuts. And so, I mean, I think that's a common experience for people on this path to go through. As far as like things that I've gotten, you know, downloaded that are pretty out there, I would say the biggest thing I'm working with right now is that I believe that we actually can travel in time. And I mean, it totally makes sense whether you're looking at it from a mystical viewpoint or from a modern physics viewpoint, time is relative, you know, it's not linear. It's much more fluid than we experience it when we're paying attention to the clock and the calendar. But one of the things I do with clients when they get stuck in a certain place is we'll go back into the past and find out, you know, where did this energy get stuck in you? And I'll actually have the client imagine that they're walking into that scene. So say it was like some child abuse that happened at age 5. And they'll walk into the scene and make a connection with what they're imagining, you know, we suppose, as their 5-year-old self, and like pick her up or pick him up and hold her and comfort her. And I've actually had on more than one occasion the client just burst into tears and say, wow, okay, this is really weird. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I remember somebody coming to me at that moment. I never remembered it until right now, but it was like there's this presence that came and comforted me. And I actually believe, and my clients also, you know, who have experienced this feel the same way, that what was happening is exactly the work that we were doing, is that they actually were coming back and comforting themselves. So I don't know if we can go back and sort of erase the negative things that have happened to us, you know, and I don't know if that would even be desirable. Maybe at some point it will be. But I know we can go back and change the energy or bring a different energy into those moments. And I actually think of that as time traveling. So, I mean, and it took me a while to kind of accept that. And my credo for all of this stuff is if it works, then it's probably valid. You know, if you feel better afterwards and your life goes more in the direction that it should be going, you know, that you want it to go, on a soul level, then it's valid. And I mean, as far as what your paradigm, you know, everything is made out of consciousness. So why can't we create stars? Why can't we create new planets? You know, I think that's what's happening in the soul realm. If you read any of the books on that have been written on, you know, life after death or the life between lives, you know, some people go into these realms where that's what they do. They create new planets, or they develop new ecosystems, or they develop new methods of healing or new methods of agriculture, whatever it is. And then those exist out in the noosphere, the kind of collective potentiality, and they get downloaded by humans who then, you know, take it to market as an invention. So, yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
I've been listening intently to what you've been saying, and, you know, one of the things that, you know, I realize is, I used to say when I got the download about star creation and star alignment, and I was given the formula to calculate the star constellations that are in the form of sigils, and there's so much that's included in them, and anyone that would like to know a little bit more about how I got involved with it, know my kind of sort of catch up to where I am today with it, can listen to my talking about it, an introduction to them on the Blog Talk Radio channel. But I, you know, you're talking about time travel, and to me, there's nothing at all that says in any part of me that somehow that's not true or it's crazy or DDK, like, man, what are you thinking kind of thing. I mean, there's nothing of that in there. And, you know, I think there are many of us that, and some who will be listening to this show, if not listening now, that are having all kinds of downloads and relationships to things that would seem like that's impossible. And I liken it, and I always say this, like, I say, Val, hey, don't forget. If people aren't getting it, and this a friend of mine often says this, she says, Val, we are at the beginning of the beginning of the beginning. So, you know, if people aren't sort of getting it, you know, right away, you don't have lots of people as clients, it's all right because we're at the beginning of the beginning of the beginning of something very awesome, and the same with the time travel. And there are people, I'm sure, who are doing it right now, who are time traveling.
Oh, yeah.
You know, absolutely, that are doing it. And so, you know, it's not like that's something new. And for all I know, star creation isn't something new at all either, but I just haven't met anyone or talked to anyone who says, hey, Val, I've been doing that for a while. Let me you know, cue you in on kind of what's happening with that. One of the things that I'd like to throw out to you, DK, is, you know, we talked about doing an exchange where I would create a star sigil for you, and you would exchange a service for me, whether it's looking at my birth chart and talking about it, or even something different like soul healing. I think it would be really cool for us to do that on the air so that people could sort of witness, you know, bear witness to it. So, you know, think about that. That might be something we might want to do as a quote-unquote program so that people could really get a sense of what that's like for each of us sort of experiencing it through us. There was also something else you said about, like, talking about the soul healing and the child abuse. I had a dream, which I can't really go into it fully because it's a long, kind of a long dream. I used to call the different parts of my dream vignettes, but now since I'm in film industry, I call them scenes instead, scene one, scene two, scene three. And in one of my dreams, the key to it would be that I knew it had to do with my past. It had to do with some monsters or a monster trying to keep me from healing my life. And in this dream, I was very aware that where I am today in my life is I'm kind of like convalescing from abuse that happened to me as a child, and as well as abuses that happened in previous lifetimes. And this monster is kind of around going, well, I don't want you to be happy now, and I stole your soul when you were a child, like the things that happened to you when you were just a wee one. And I saw myself as a child whose soul had been stolen. And let's see, what was back in, like, I don't know, 2005, 2006, 2007, I had a session with a woman from Peru who I didn't understand anything she was saying to me at the time, but she did what was called a soul retrieval, so kind of shifting into soul healing now, what you're doing there. She gave me something called a soul retrieval, and I didn't speak her language, but all I knew was I was just crying my eyes out and just bawling like a baby, not even knowing what she was saying. And at one point she was singing me a lullaby, and I think that's when I lost it. And that was about retrieving my soul. So there's a lot of people, like, with PTSD and, you know, a lot of crazy things that have happened. And I was just wondering if you could talk a little bit about, you know, what you do with soul healing. Do you do soul retrieval? And just kind of check in on that.
Yeah, it's a wow, great. I'm really glad you asked, because this CD project that I'm working on is, you know, and I wanted to do this last year, and I just got the message that it wasn't ready. And I think I needed to do more work on myself and more work with clients to really understand how to present the work in a way that could be accessible to people who aren't working with me one-on-one. And even before I go into that, I would say, you know, it's really important to work with other people. There's a lot of this healing that we can do on our own. But, you know, as Jesus said in the Bible, when two or more are gathered together, you know, the healing energy is really magnified. It's exponential. And so I work with other people all the time. I trade. I pay people. You know, it's just really important to have somebody that you trust who can hold space for you, because it's so much easier. And in the recovery framework, you know, that's a big part of it, is being able to get out of you the things that you are ashamed of or that you're afraid of or that you feel like you did wrong, and have somebody else hear them in a non-judgmental way. So I really, and even, you know, Hugh the caller tapped into that too by saying, you know, there's the community aspect of it, is finding like-minded people. So I think that's really important. But one of the things that I'm going to offer in the CD project is specifically about soul retrieval. And what happens with the reason, you know, we need to do soul retrieval is that whenever we, and this can be in this lifetime, you know, a lot of my clients, when we do this, will spontaneously regress into past lifetimes. But wherever there's trauma that we're not able to really properly understand or heal, and that can be child abuse, it can be a car accident, you know, it can be, sometimes it can be seemingly insignificant in the big picture of things, like something that you said that was really hateful to somebody you were having a fight with at one point. But wherever there's trauma that we're not able to heal, what happens is we really do lose a chunk of our soul. Because when the, you know, and if you read Peter Levine's books on healing trauma, Waking the Tiger, you know, he's got a really good framework for this. But what happens when we experience trauma is that we freeze. You know, we go into this intense fight or flight state. And when we do that, the energy of whatever the negative emotion, whether it's somebody perpetrating abuse on us, or, you know, whether it's us perpetrating abuse on ourselves, that negative energy, because we're not really there at that trauma moment, we check out. You know, we freeze, we go into the reptile brain, the fight or flight stress response. And we're not, there's, it's like nobody's driving the car at that moment. And so whatever that negative energy is, just can flow right into our body, into our emotional body, our physical body, and it gets stuck there. And basically, like, the soul can't stand to not be whole. And so then a little part of our soul gets lodged in that trauma event, and therefore it's not available to us. So it really is like we are, you know, we've all got these monsters that, you know, some people have huge history of abuse, so it's really obvious to them that something's wrong. For other people, you know, they think they had a pretty good childhood, and, you know, but they still can't seem to get life to go the way it should be going. So, you know, that's a sign that there's something wrong there. So what we do in soul retrieval is we go back to that trauma, and we work on releasing it from the body. And another way of looking at that is when we're experiencing a traumatic event, we're not able to be fully present to what's happening. And so what we, another way we can look at that is soul retrieval is going back and bringing presence into that moment. And one of the ways that, you know, I'll typically experience this with clients is that we find what the trauma is, and then I say, okay, look back at yourself in that moment. You know, what do you feel as you're looking at yourself? And a lot of times what they feel is, you know, there's compassion there, but it's surprisingly is like they feel repelled or they feel disgusted, you know, and it's like, and sometimes it's the trauma event, sometimes it's the way we act after the trauma event. So my way of reacting to my childhood trauma was alcohol and drugs. And a lot of times if I look back at myself sort of in the last decade of my 20s, you know, I'll look at myself and I'll just feel disgusted, like, you're such a sloppy drunk, you know, you're not doing what you need to do, you're hurting yourself. Well, that's a sign that there's a chunk of the soul that's gone missing there. Because ideally, we would be able to look at every moment of our life and experience love for ourselves, unconditional love, as he said. So what we're doing in that process is we're just going, and there's no, you know, it'd be nice if there was like a tried and true formula, just do steps 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and you'll get your chunk of your soul back. But it really requires us to be present and to be willing to experience, re-experience, you know, the fear that we felt or the shame that we felt, and then come to a place of being able to love and forgive what was going on there. And, you know, at that point, then we've created an opening where there was a blockage, and then our soul can come back into that open space. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It definitely makes sense. And, you know, one of the things that I've been thinking about while you were talking about that and my own soul retrieval, that, you know, I wish, in a way, I wish that the person had spoken English and it was something that could be recorded, because I know it had to be very valuable. Yeah, sort of at the same time, you know, where, you know, I'm thinking about a lot of the work that I have done on myself over the years, the healings that have happened. I think about, oh, the coaches that I've had, the mentors, the work that I've done with others, which you talked about, the importance of doing that, the work that I continue to do, where I am in my life, where I want to be in my life, where the challenges are, where the joys are. And, you know, once someone says, you know, like, does it ever end? I'm tired of, like, all of this effort that I'm putting into my life. And, you know, I sometimes, like, can go there. You know, most people probably see me as a very sort of joyous and happy person, you know, who's willing to help a lot of people and very outgoing. And that's definitely true. That is the Aryan part of me. But then there's also that Scorpio, that water sign, that part of me that, you know, I have these moments where it's even more than moments where I get it, like I'm convalescing.
Yeah.
You know, from and so there's these periods, and it's funny because, you know, we have this saying called depression. We have this saying, we have these diagnoses, depression and manic depression, and, you know, all sorts of things. And one of the things that I have discovered through just my own experiences and research, talking to a lot of people and participating in a lot of things, is I question, you know, is it truly, like, are people truly mentally ill in the sense that most of society says they are, or is it that, you know, the way that society is set up just doesn't work for a group of people? And so we are forced into either getting in alignment with how things are done and how we're meant to live. And if we're not, because they're the majority of people, they say, well, you're mentally ill or you're sick or this or that, and there's some problem with you. And it seems like finally people are sort of standing up and they're saying, no, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not gonna, it's like from Network. I always think of movies, of course. You know, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore because the world is not set up to be optimum for everyone. So I'm not going to accept, you know, these labels anymore, and I'm not going to accept that I'm not good enough. And this is sort of a little bit of a segue into spiritual consumerism, if you will, because there are times when you feel like, and I feel like, I'll speak personally, where I've been doing all of this for years, and then I thought, well, it's because you need this coach. You want to make $100,000 a year? Go with this coach. Okay, go with that coach. That didn't happen. Okay. Then you go with someone else. Then you go with someone else. Then you go with someone else. And, you know, I just got to the point, I said, there's something that I'm missing, and what is it? I think there's a lot of people that just don't, are tired of, and they don't want to feel anymore like they're not doing enough. That's what advertising is all about. You're never enough, and you're never doing enough. Those sneakers that you're wearing, not good enough. You're wearing Keds, you need Nikes, you know?
Yeah.
That place where you're going to eat. And it's almost sometimes seems to me that the same kind of thing is happening with spirituality, with coaching, with mentoring. When is enough enough? And I could say a lot more about that with me personally. I just learned from this guy, Neil Baker, who's a psychic out in California, who I had a really quick session with. He helped me to see that you can do like 1,000 sessions with 1,000 coaches, and yet you have this contract in life that no one has really ever told you about. Let me tell you what that contract is about. When you were brought into life and that you participated in and decided in, that says, you know what, you're not going to have like an easiest pie life, and there's reasons why you made that decision. And, you know, told me a little bit about that. And Neil's coming on in April, so we're going to do a live session, he and I, so that we can get a little bit more deeper into that. But yeah, so that spiritual consumerism, that not good enough, no matter what you do, you know, how many coaches do you need, how many mentors do you need? And I'm saying that as someone who's, like, you know, offering a service as well. So, you know, we're all kind of caught up in it. I just wanted to hear what your perspective is on that.
One of my teachers, Stephen Gilligan, who is just an incredible hypnotherapist and psychologist out in California, and I got to go to his trance camp, which is just an amazing experience, a few years ago. And I remember him saying, depression is your soul's way of saying, I would rather die than continue to live like this. And
wow.
I feel like, you know, I mean, if you look at depression as such an epidemic in our society, I mean, I did some research a few years ago, and I don't remember the numbers, but something like, you know, like 800 million or maybe it was several billion prescription, you know, pills taken every year just in America alone for depression or for mood, you know, mood enhancement. And I think what you said, you know, it's really true, is that our society is not set up on a human basis. It's not set up to benefit humans. And trying to make it according to the old rules of the game, it's like, how are you going to not be depressed, bummed out, bad, you know, self-hating, whatever it is? So, yeah, I totally respond to that. And I feel like that's one of the big shifts that I've had in my thinking and my feeling and my work over the last couple of years, is really getting to the point of realizing, you know, there is this spiritual consumerism that's kind of rampant in the new age, which, and you know, and it comes from a good place in a lot of cases. It comes from the desire that we all want to be happy, and what we equate happiness with subconsciously in our society is wealth and status, you know? And so, you know, it's easy to see how those two got intertwined. But in reality, you know, we're always going to be doing the work. I think as long as we're here, we're going to keep learning. And the great thing about it, and I know you can vouch for this from your experience, and I can from my life, is that if you keep doing the work, it does get better and better. There are still times where, you know, you get knocked back and you for a few months or a year, and you're like, oh, wow, I didn't realize I had to work on that too. And you know, but yeah, we get tired and we get, you know, impatient and we get frustrated. And that's all part of the journey. I mean, one of the seven principles of Hermes, you know, the original alchemist, is that everything has a rhythm. You know, and so Hermes, the first principle is as above, so below. Most of us are familiar with that. But one of the other seven principles is the principle of rhythm, you know, which is everything has a rhythm. And part of the spiritual consumerism that I see, which is basically directly influenced from the advertising paradigm and from the, you know, what you could say is like really one of the founding energies of the United States of America, of, you know, all the white people coming from England in search of a better life, and then, you know, going across the country and eradicating the natives, and, you know, because the manifest destiny, you know, we need this land, is the get-rich-quick kind of thing, which is like you always have to be, everything always has to be moving forward and upward and bigger and brighter. And in reality, that's like against nature, you know? I mean, you're in Newark and I'm in Detroit, and right now in Detroit it's like 28 degrees and, you know, and light snow, right? So it's winter. And spring's on the way, and then pretty soon everything's going to feel vibrant and happy and sunshiny again. And then, you know, come November, it's going to get dark and cold again. And that's just, it's our nature to be in cycles. And I feel like one of the things that we need to give ourselves permission to do, like you're saying, is there are times when we need to just rest and convalesce and, you know, do what we have to do to get by. Because what our soul's trying to do is work on some of the deeper level things that we, each of us, came with our own contract that we need to work on. And then, you know, once we kind of work through some of that stuff, we'll get our energy back and we're back out in the world and creating again, and everything feels great. The challenge isn't those times when we feel down or we feel bad or you know, we feel inner directed, the challenge is that we feel like we're not supposed to feel that, that somehow we must be doing something wrong.
Right, right. I totally concur and identify with that, DK. And I can't believe we're almost out of time. We're heading for 90 minutes, 5:23. And I just wanted to share with you something that I awakened to read this morning. You know, I wake up in the morning, and first thing I do is I check in with my higher power, my creator, who I really identify a lot with, Yeshua, Jesus, archangels, angels, but so much more. But that's kind of, you know, my main dude, you know, so to speak.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then that opens like, oh, like many rooms and many mansions. Oh, yeah, you know, not limiting at all. It's like so unlimited. So this morning I was guided to this book called Infinite Universe. Journeys with the Master Teachers, channeled by Susie Suzy Mezzoli, S-U-Z-Y-M-E-S-C-O-L-Y. And something said you're going to need to read this today, so I'm just going to read this. For anyone who's listening and needs to hear this, and especially those people that really feel like different, that feel like, yeah, there's a good reason for me to be depressed or bipolar or whatever it is, it's because There's something going on that I don't want to be a part of. It's like Columbus, he was the weirdo when he said the world was round. And everybody else said, no, dude, you're out of your mind. The world is flat. Well, we know how that turned out. So this is a quote. It says, you are the divine beings now that you do not compare yourself to others around you. For many of the others around you may not have the same abilities as you do now. They do not or may not have the same dimensional understandings and experiences, so do not hold yourselves in the herd. Step forward. The wisdom, knowledge, and experience that you know from this particular place now, the state that you are in now, is more honest and truthful and real than much of what you call the real world. The so-called real world is locked. Time locked in three-dimensional space. Yet, you have experienced far greater than that. You have expanded far greater than that. So when you wish to compare yourself, if you must, with others of the same course, and others of the angelic realms. And this is channeled, who's it? It's the Metatron, the archangel, the energy Metatron. Any comment with that? I'm going to like close out the show. So, any
like
final
it.
Words?
I like it. I like it.
I
guess, you know, the more I've gone along in this whole on this whole path, the more I've come to believe that enlightenment really just means total self-acceptance. You know, and I feel like that's, and it doesn't mean we have an excuse to just do whatever we want. It just means being able to honor our whole journey. And like you said, that comes from not comparing yourself to this is the way I should be or this is what I should be feeling now, you know, because that's what these other people are projecting. So,
right.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so that concludes our show for today. I want to thank everyone who listening now, and actually usually what I do is I go through the show, I listen to it, and I sort of recreate it as a podcast, tighten it up a little bit. But thank you to those who are in the chat room, who've been listening to the show, for anyone who's called in, for anyone who's you know, dialed and listened to the show live, and thank you for those who are going to be listening to the podcast. DK, thank you so much for being the guest star today. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Hey, it's been my pleasure. Thanks so much, Val. And I'll talk to you soon. And many blessings to everybody out there.
Wow, what a show. Well, I want to thank DK again for being the special guest star on the show today. And I want to thank you all for listening, for joining us. And I hope that we provoke some thoughts, that you had some identification, and that you have enjoyed the music. And I do have one more song to end the program with, one of my favorites. But before that, I want to just cite again how to reach DK and myself. DK can be reached at wordsforthepeople.com. You can just type in Words for the People into your browser. There's also Words for the People on Facebook. And for me, Valerie Michelle, you can just type in The Healing Artist Studio to get to the blog, to get to the Blog Talk Radio channel, and also Facebook. Okay, so we're going to end with Lolita Holloway singing Love Sensation from the Verb Music Group. Lolita Holloway was considered a great diva of disco, and some say that she had like the best, most powerful, awesome voice. Even, well, I would say maybe to rival, say, Whitney Houston, perhaps even Beyonce, two of our greatest divas. But Lolita Holloway, L-O-L-E-A-T-T-A, she was born in 1946 and died in 2011. So, Lolita, this is a tribute to you. This song is all about love. It's to get off your duff and dance and really feel the energy of love. So thank you again for listening. This is Valerie Michelle. You've been listening to Healing in the Greater Reality on the Healing Artist Studio Project here on Blog Talk Radio. Lots of love.